problem I have, problem all of us have, is our faith so many times is not active as it should be. And we let the circumstances, we let the things of life cloud our thoughts and our actions, and sometimes we do not respond to His mercy and grace as we should. But I'm glad He provides for us. This morning, if you will again turn to the book of Psalms, number 78. Psalm number 78. This is a psalm that we were in a couple of weeks ago, and been trying to give some messages, and really started this as a one message thing. And that first message, way back first part of the year, I wasn't able to talk very well, but this was one of the first messages I preached with any kind of ability. It's where the Lord was needed at the woman at the well. And we've gone through a number of places. I try to rehearse those so we can remember, because it's been about a three-month journey here. And we talked about her and her need and how the Lord was needed in her life. And it doesn't matter where we find ourselves. We may not be at the well, and we may not be at that particular place, but we sure do need the Lord before we trust Him. He has to come by our place. I'm not of the persuasion that you just decide to be a Christian. I think it's a calling of the Lord. I think it's a touch of God. I think it's a conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's not just a mental thing. It's something that the Lord does in our heart. And certainly she had a great need because of her sin, her life, and we were all in the same place. And then we dealt with the storm that raged and how the Lord was needed there in the storm. They said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And of course He cares. He knows where we are, and He knows how to take care of us. We dealt the next time on He needs to be at the helm of our ship, or the control tower. He needs to be there to help us make the right decisions and the right places to go and the right turns to make. We found that He was needed down there, that young man, when he left and went to a far country, went to the hog pen and realized he was living way below his standards. And he realized that his father's servants was living better than he, being a son. So he said, "I'll just go back and I'll present myself to the Father." And he'd have never got to that place unless the conviction of the Lord was upon his heart and his life. We dealt with those that are hungry. We dealt with Peter and his faith failing when he got out of the ship and he began to walk to where the Lord was. He failed. And we certainly need the Lord there when our faith begins to falter. We dealt with the potter's house, how that the Lord's needed there. And a couple of weeks ago, we dealt with the desert place. And it's found here in Psalm number 78. And I'm just really going to finish up the message this morning that was started. And we dealt with the Lord is needed at the when we're in the place of desert or wilderness. And certainly, He is the one that has to help us and give us the things that we have to have. And so this morning I want to deal with that He is there and how that we can survive. The desert is there, and the hard times are always prevalent, and the problems always are pressing upon the people of God. But we have to survive. And how can we survive when we're in that particular place that's called a desert? So we want to continue on the message about that, and just to realize the Lord can give us strength. The Lord can help us and help us to not just survive, but we really can thrive and have maturity come to us while we're in the desert. If we read all of Psalm number 78, I believe you would have to agree with me that probably these words are some of the most damning words that's ever been given to a country. Here's the nation of Israel that God has called out a special people. He has done everything for them that is possible for them to survive. And every time God did something, they rebelled farther and farther away from the Lord. And so these things that are given to us by this man called Asaph, this is not a psalm of David, this is a psalm of Asaph. And he has 10 or 12 psalms in this, the book of Psalms. And this one is a accusation psalm against the people of Israel because they always rebelled against the Lord. But on the other hand, when you read, and we will read some verses here in a moment, and we'll see that, we will see that these verses also reveals to us a gracious God. And I'm so glad this morning that our God is a gracious God. He is one that loves us and cares for us. He's one that will help us through the dark places. He's the one literally that will help us through the deserts. When you study about a physical desert, there are some, we think of a desert being dry and dusty and sandy and nothing surviving, nothing living there. But if you look up a few things concerning a desert, you'll find there are some plants that will survive in the desert that cannot survive anywhere else in a physical sense. You know, there's a plant called the agave plant, and it is a tall, slender, branch-stalked type of cactus, we would call it, and it has many yellow blossoms and blooms, and it is a natural form of sugar in the desert. And we know that if a person or something's going to survive, there has to have sugar in the system. And you don't want too much of it. That's the problem that a lot of us have. But we have to have sugar. We have to have what we call carbs in order that we have energy to do what we need to do in our personal walk of life. And in the desert, there is that agave plant that will supply that. Then there's a desert poppy, and it is used as a pain reliever, and certainly that is needed. There's a organ pipe cactus. It's a purple and pink in color, and what I read on that, it tastes better than watermelon. Now it has to be pretty good. I might go find me some of that sometime, but it says it tastes better and sweeter than watermelon, and it has the moisture that's needed for life. And all those plants, they survive in the desert, but they would not survive in our garden. They would not survive with abundance of water. They would not survive with soil. They are planted there by God for the purpose, and God gives life even in the desert. And so this morning, I want us to look at some things about the desert, and we need to be assured, you and I both, we need to be assured that when we go through the desert, it does not take God by shock. He knows where we are, and he can help us in every place we find ourselves. Let's look this morning in Psalm number 78, and we'll begin reading in verse number 31. Psalm number 78, verse number 31 says, "The wrath of God came upon them, and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all of this they sinned still, and believed not for his wondrous works." There's that damaging accusation. They believed, they would not believe him, even though he had done all those wondrous works. Verse 33, "Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless," here's that cycle that we talked about a couple weeks ago, "nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion," I would underline that, "but he," speaking of God, "being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many many times turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? How often they provoked him. How often they grieved him. And the scripture says here, in the desert. In the wilderness, as they were traveling toward the promised land. This is a recapping of some of the things that took place in the wilderness journey and the wanderings there those 40 years. And the scripture says God would give them water and they would rebel. God would give them food and they would gripe about that. God did everything for them, and everything he did for them, they ended up turning their back. They ended up not trusting the Lord. And I think the key to it is in verse number 37. It says, for their heart was not right with him. That's the bottom problem with every difficulty of life. The problem that they had with God, it was not that he was not good to them, because he was good to them. It was not that he did not supply to them their every need and their every desire and the things that they had to have to survive, because God gave them everything they needed. But the Bible says here they provoked him to anger. The scripture says they would flatter him, but with their tongues they would lie. They would be full of deceitfulness in their hearts. And they were not steadfast in their in his covenant. And so the scripture says their heart was not right with him. Bottom line with all of us, our heart usually is not right with God. And we find ourselves in a desert place. We find ourselves in a problem. We find ourselves in a wilderness going through that, and we do not know which way to turn, which way to go. But just remember, there are some things in the desert that are there for survival. There are things there to help us to get through that. The scripture says here that we read, and what a merciful God we have. He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. Because of his compassion, because of his mercy and his love, he forgave them even their deceitfulness and their lying and their telling him they loved him when in their heart they did not love him. He knew all that, but yet because of his compassion, the scripture says here he forgave their iniquity. And many times his anger was turned away because he remembered something about the creation that he had made. He remembered that they were but dust of the earth, their flesh. We do not live, we cannot live up to God's standards, not at this point in life. We're not going to live to where God desires us to live, because we're but flesh. And we battle daily. It's a never-ending battle. This old flesh that is upon us that we have to deal with and have to have it under subjection, that so many times we fail in because he said he remembered that they were but flesh. And then he said they're like a wind that passes away. We're here for a moment, James says, and then we vanish away like the vapor of steam that comes off. And he says that they're a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. We have one journey, one trip in this life. I know there are some that say, well, in our former life. We don't have a former life. We have this life, and we have a future life. But we don't have a past life. When we came into life, when conception came, that began our life that would never end. So we don't have a past life. We don't have this reincarnation stuff that is foreign to anything that is mentally common sense. There's not a past life. The present life we have right now upon this earth, that's all we've got. And we're like the wind that goes by, and we're not going to come back. We're not going to be reincarnated to something else. We're not going to come back as someone or something else. We are here for the duration of what years God gives us, and that's all we've got. And we need to remember that he is our creator, and that he loves us and he cares about us. And we need to understand he has some things that will help us even when we're in the desert place and it's of our own making. Many times the people of Israel, they were going through the wilderness because they rejected the Lord. They rejected the word of the Lord. They rejected the promise of God that he said, you can take over the land of promise and you can have everything. That's a land that flows with milk and honey. They said, but we can't do that because there are giants in the land. There's adversity there. We don't want adversity. But if we're living, we have adversity. If we're living, we have problems. The Bible says in the book of Job, man's of a few days full of trouble. Difficult times. And so when we get in the desert place, you just need to realize God's already prepared some things for us that can help us not just survive, but even to thrive in this desert dry land in which we are finding ourselves. First of all, we need to remember that God is there with us. As a child of God, as a Christian, I don't go anywhere that God is not with me. He said, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. So wherever I go, whether it be on a mountaintop or whether it be in a valley, whether it be on the sea, as Peter was and his faith faltered, the Lord was there immediately for his help and for his deliverance. And so we need to remember, even though we're in a hard area and a hard time, we need to remember that the Lord has always and will always be there with us. Look at verse number 12 in this same passage of Scripture, chapter 78. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. Notice in verse 13, he divided the sea, caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand on a heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud. At night, a light of fire. He clayed the rock in the wilderness or in the desert place, and gave them drink as out of great depth. It goes on, and then they, God does all that to them and for them, and then they come along, as we noticed a couple of weeks ago, they said, can God really set a table? God can do these little, God can open the waters, God can destroy our enemies, God can take care of all those, but can he feed us in the wilderness? Can he set a table in the wilderness? Well, we found that God can do that because he was present there with them. Verse number 23 says, though he had commanded the clouds from above to open the doors of heaven, and it rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused the east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them. And it goes on and on of what the Lord prepared for them and what God did for them as they were there in that desert place. So we need to remember, wherever we are, praise the Lord, he's there with us. He's there to help us. He's there to instruct us. He's there to let us know we're not by ourselves. Sometimes we feel so alone. Sometimes we feel like nobody cares. We feel like nobody can do anything for us. But thank God the Lord can do that. The Lord is there to help us. And so when we get in the desert, one of those things that he's prepared for us, as physically he has prepared certain plants that will survive in the desert, he's given us some thoughts and some things in our life that we know that he's good for us because he's with us. Never leave you, never forsake you, always there to help. Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 5 and 6. In this passage, Joshua has taken over Israel. They are in the land of promise, and he is there probably wondering what in the world, how in the world am I going to survive? How am I going to take care of this? How am I going to lead this people? And God tells him here in Joshua chapter number 1, verse 5 and 6, the Lord says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord. He's not going to fail us. He's not going to forsake us. And so Joshua, you can do. You can be that leader that I've called you to be. He says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Joshua, I'll be with you all the days of your life. And one of the greatest generals that Israel ever had was a man by the name of Joshua. And the Joshua that we hear and we read about. He was the deliverer that God gave them after Moses led them through and got them to the land of promise. Joshua now goes in and he fights the battles for and with the people of the Lord. They'd been in the desert, but God said, as I've been with you, I'll continue to be there. The second thing we need to understand when we are in those places, as Israel finds herself here, we need to realize there is a purpose of God. God has a purpose. And this is something that we deal with quite often. God has a purpose for our life. The Lord has not left us here just to wander back and forth, to and fro. God has a plan. Maybe that's a better word than purpose. It's two different things. But for us to understand, God has a plan for us, that there's a starting point and there's an ending point. And as a child of God, we're going to end up in heaven. That's the purpose and plan of God. And so as we make our journey from point A to point heaven, we have a lot of things that come our way. And so we need to realize that God has a purpose in everything that comes about. The hardest thing sometimes for us to do when things are not as we want them to be, the hardest thing for us to realize is why. Why has this happened? And that's a human nature question. I don't believe it's sinful to ask God why. I believe it's sinful to doubt the Lord. I believe it's sinful to question His ability and His desire for us. But I don't think it's sinful for us to inquire of the Lord, what am I doing here? Why is this happening? What is going on? And we can rest assured that where we are, God knows where we are. We can rest assured that He's there with us, and we can rest assured that He has a purpose. Nothing comes to us without a reason. God is not an unreasonable individual. God has reason about everything that He does. There's a purpose in everything that He does. And sometimes we try to figure out why we're here. We try to figure out what's going on. And all we can think about, why am I in this predicament? Why is this taking place? How long is it going to last? How am I going to get out of this? Number one thing we need to learn is that wherever we are, we can learn to be dependent upon the Lord. He will help us. He will supply to us. If He can take millions of people through the desert, through the wilderness, He can take care of me. If He can take them through that land of wandering for 40 years. Now, they wandered for 40 years so all that unbelieving crowd would die off. Those that wouldn't receive the promise of the Lord, He let them wander in the wilderness because of their unbelief, and they died off. They didn't see the promised land. They had opportunity. They looked at it. Some went in and spied it out. But they said, we cannot do what God said. So God let them wander till they all died. That was the purpose of the Lord. And they had to learn dependency upon Him. It is only God that can get me out of this, and so I must depend upon Him. It's a time of developing our life. It is God alone that can prepare me for what awaits in the desert, for what awaits in the troublesome times. We had mentioned this morning of people that have sickness have come into their life. We've mentioned some this morning that's had death enter into their family. Those are troublesome times. Those are problem times. Those are desert areas. But those are places where God teaches us we can depend upon Him. As Kathy was singing a while ago, there's things that we remember of how our loved ones have lived and how they passed from this life into eternity. How that we maybe fall asleep in this old world and we wake up in glory. We're literally passing from death unto life. Spiritually, that takes place when we come to know the Lord. We pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. But when we leave this world as a Christian, We literally pass from physical death unto eternal life. And praise the Lord, God will deliver us on the other side safely and securely, and He'll take care of us. One of the hardest things is to understand that. God does not harm us. God does not defeat us. And we may have the pain that goes along, but He's not there to destroy us. He's there to develop us. He's there to help us. And so we just need to remember that He is with us. We need to remember that He has a purpose in everything that He does. And that purpose really is to bring us closer to Him. It's to bring us to a place that we depend upon Him more than we ever have in our life. It's a place of subjecting ourselves to the will of the Lord, and He desires that we do that. Number three, we need to rehearse or remember the promises of God. This book that I hold this morning, the book that you have in your lap this morning, is God's promise to His people. This is God's Word. This is not the imagination of some 30 or 40 some odd human authors, but this is the Word of God. And the Scripture says, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As God gave them utterance, God gave them ability to pin down the Word of the Lord. And thank God we have it translated into our language this morning. And we have the Word of God before us. And we can rehearse and we can remember the very promises of the Lord that He has given to every believer. Psalm 27 verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's a pretty good promise. Sometimes all the times, we're very impatient. Very impatient. I may have said something like this the other day. Someone asked me if this problem I had in my throat, if it taught me any patience. I said, not much. Not a whole lot. I say that saying no more. But we are very impatient people, but the Lord says, wait, I say, wait upon the Lord. And he says there, be of good courage. And he says, I'll strengthen thy heart. And it's not talking about the heart that pumps the blood through our body and our system. It's talking about the heart of man, the soul of man, and the energy of man. God says, just wait upon the Lord, be of good courage. And wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a great promise that is. To wait on the Lord and then cast our burdens upon Him. Promises of the Lord. I like the last part of that verse. It says, He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Not the religious, but the righteous. Religion moves around all the time. Religion changes with the flow of people. Religion changes with the attitude and the ideas of individuals. But righteous people, we're not moved because as a child of God, we know what thus saith the Lord. Psalm 73, 26. My flesh and my heart faileth. How true that is. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers under His wings. Shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The promise of God. The promises of the Lord. He says, I will. And if He says, I will, bless your heart, He will. If He says, I'll do it for you, then He will do it for you. If He gives you a promise in His Word, now some of the promises are very conditional. Therefore, we get in trouble. God says, I'll do this for you if one of the ones that we quote so many times is 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, seek my face, pray, and all those things that are listed there. God says, if my people will do that, God said, then will I hear from heaven. He doesn't say he's going to hear from heaven until we do what we're supposed to do. So many of the promises are conditioned upon who we are, what we're doing, but there are some promises he gives to us that doesn't matter what we do, we're going to survive because of those wonderful promises. Then in the desert place, I gave you this morning some of those desert flowers, desert plants, agave plant. You can even buy agave nectar. It's so sweet as honey. It's for sustaining life. It's sugar. As God has provided that, thank God he gives provisions to his people. As God has provided that in the desert for whatever little animal might need that, then God gives us provisions for those things that we need. The desert place is a hard and humbling place. And we're there, and the provisions from the Lord are there for us. We have to remember that many times, every time we get in a hard place is not because of sin in our life. Sometimes it's God just strengthening our life. It's a trial. It's a test. It's a developing. It's a strengthening of our spiritual life. As exercise strengthens the physical body, sometimes these things are for us to be strengthened. As God dropped Elijah food from the raven's mouth, God can provide for us. As God provided manna that fell in the center of the camp of Israel, and God said, you go out and gather it every day, except one day you do not gather, one day you gather twice as much. Every morning they could go out and they'd gather that manna, that angel's food. If they gathered more than they needed, it rotted. It was gone by the next day. If they tried to hoard it up, it just wouldn't work. You wouldn't want it. And so he gave them their daily provisions. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what God gave to them in the desert or in the wilderness. Now on the sixth day, they could gather up twice as much because on the Sabbath day, they were not to go out and to gather. And so God provided, God gave to them. And if God can do that for them, I believe he can do that for us. The difficulties of life. The Bible says in the book of the Gospel of Mark that angels ministered unto the Lord. I believe he can minister you and I. Song in our songbook says, great is thy faithfulness. Brother Bray, what number is that? 14. Page number 14. Let's look at that song just for a moment. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow or turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. What the scriptures say here, being full of compassion. Knowing they were but flesh. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. The second verse says, summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Verse 3, pardon for sin, and peace that endureth. Thank God for salvation. Pardon for sin. After pardon comes peace. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine. With how many? 10,000s. beside. What did I tell you, maybe it was last week, the word 10 in the scripture means what? Total summation of all things. So when the songwriter writes about 10,000 years, he's talking about all of them. He's talking about eternity. When he's talking about blessings, 10,000s beside, he's talking about all of them. You see, some of these old writers, they knew a whole lot more than people today that's supposed to know a whole lot more. And they would use words and terms that they knew what it meant. I'm so glad this morning that my God is able to give everything I need because He is faithful. And I can rejoice in His plan. I've said so many times, the child of God is the only creature upon this earth that can cry with tears running down their cheeks and have joy in their heart. The world doesn't know that. The world doesn't understand that. The world sees crying and anguish. And our world's gone mad. It's literally gone crazy. You know why? Because they do not know the Prince of Peace. They don't know Him. And they're out here wandering around the wilderness with no understanding. And the sad part about it, they don't want to know. Miss Louise and I were talking a moment ago. It seems as though people, when they are so antagonistic against God and they see all the things that happen, they just get worse. They don't get better. If you're reading the book of the Revelation, the more they see the judgment of God, the more they curse God. The more they hate Him. And that's where we are in our society today. America, I believe, is in a desert place. Oh, we may have a lot of money. We may have a lot of activity. We may have a lot of things. But I'll tell you what, we're just a heartbeat away from annihilation of what we know of as our country. Very, very quick could happen. America in a desert place. But you and I, even though we're in this country and we're seeing all these things, I'm glad I know the Lord's with me. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I know that God has a purpose, whatever's happening. I can think about His promises and remember them and know He'll provide for me. Psalm number 37. Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And David said, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen, here's the word now, the righteous forsaken. The righteous. Nor his seed begging bread. Then he says, why? He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Thank God for the mercy of the Lord. Let's stand together this morning.